Welcome to Causing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful privilege to see you all this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer from verse 5 to verse 15. I can remember saying the Lord's Prayer just about every assembly, every Friday morning at school. And I don't think I knew what I was really praying then. How many of you had the same experience? How many of you, as believers now, were unbelievers when you regularly prayed the Lord's Prayer? Isn't it beautiful that God actually answered you, even though you didn't know who you were talking to or what you were saying? But He actually answered you, and here you sit today as His, as a result of praying that prayer often. And it's a very powerful prayer. It's going to be really good for us. I trust that you would make the Lord's Prayer something of a practice, a model for your prayer life, for your relationship with God, for in fact everything. There's so much hangs on this prayer, and we're going to look at that together. But it starts off, the context, just to give you a little bit of context, and like I do just about every week this year, let me remind you, do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are? I mean, how blessed are you? It's like so incredibly, unbelievably blessed. Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, because no man has revealed to you what you've seen. The Father in heaven has revealed to you that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who of you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you know how blessed you are? Because there are a lot of people who don't know that. You can have all the money in the world, you can have all the friends in the world, you can have all the good stuff in the world, and not know Jesus. How many of you know? That's not blessed. You can have nothing and know Jesus. You are blessed. I want to encourage you with that all the time. Guys, think about it. Because it changes the way you live when you consider the incredible blessing of salvation that has been worked into your life. If you understand how blessed you are, it changes your neediness. Am I right? What does it change it to? Changes it to generosity. When you understand how blessed you are, it deals with lust in your heart. Because if you're so blessed, you don't have to run after anything else. Hello? If you understand how blessed you are, it deals with anger. Anybody get angry lately? Must be because you are a witch supporter? No, I'm joking. You know, when you understand how blessed you are, it changes. I mean, you can't be angry and blessed at the same time. Hello? When you understand how blessed you are, you become the salt and the light of the world. Something about you shines that the world wants. And it's the blessing of God. And how many of you know it's good to have the blessing of God? Who wants to be blessed here? So this is not a bless me club, but God wants to bless you. Because He says, blessed are, and then He's got all these things that we can do to gain the blessing, and then He tells us what the blessing is. Sons of God, heaven is yours. The earth is yours. Every just incredible things are yours by the blessing. Do you understand how blessed you are? If you don't, go back to Matthew 5. We've been looking at it. Listen to the preachers if you want. Sometimes I don't listen to the preachers because I don't like listening to my own voice. If you can handle it, and I think you do because you keep coming back, then go back to the preachers that you missed and listen to the blessing of what God has done for us. Amen. So out of these things, when we start to believe what God says about us, we start to act differently. Now, if you believe you're a murderer, you're going to act in a murderous way. Am I right? If you believe you're good at something, anytime the opportunity comes up to do that thing, you'll step forward. Now, I know how to do that. Hello? I believe there's some good fishermen here today. Hello? And if you're good at fishing, you'd want to step up to the shore and fish. But now, if you understand how righteous you are in Christ, that the oversupply of righteousness, of the holy Son of God, was perfect in every way, sinless, spotless, without anything evil, anywhere, anywhere on him. He went to the cross and took all our sin upon himself. That's the oversupply of righteousness, taking our oversupply of sin, putting it on him, and what happens? He dies for what we keep giving, and he rises again to give us what he keeps giving. Righteousness, righteousness, righteousness through faith in Jesus. That's it. When you believe you're righteous because of what he's done, if you just believe what God says about you, you start to act differently. You don't do the things that you used to be. You do the things that you are, based on who that you are. Amen. You with me? You are righteous in Christ. He loves you. So therefore, based on your faith, act out your faith. Faith without works is dead. So we believe, and therefore we do. And then it comes to righteous acts. So the righteous acts that Jesus focuses on here are giving, praying, and fasting. Now, you can do your giving, and you can do your giving only for one reason, that God has given you. But if you think you gave you, you'll boast about how you give. Like, look what I've done with my life. I've done so many good things. Therefore, when I give, I want others to see. And so I give with a trumpet and with a loud hailer. Like, everyone, come in. This is Brad here. I just want you all to know that I've just donated over 10% to my church. And I'm really blessed because of it. Thank you. It's ridiculous. I'm just laboring the point. Sometimes I get a little comic relief. That just happens. But when you realize that God gave it to you, it changes how generous you are. Because everything you have has come from him. And therefore, you don't do it to boast to people. You know that you can give that people see. I mean, you can give in a way that people see. But it's what's in the heart. The heart is, did you see that? The heart is not that. The heart is, Father, it's for you. And when you do it for the Father and unto the Father, then it doesn't matter whether you do it in secret or in public. It doesn't matter, because the issue is this. I want to do it for the Father because the Father rewards that kind of giving. And who here doesn't do anything for reward? Everyone here does everything they do for reward. Am I right? 100%. You're even here today because you believe in God and you diligently seek God, and it says those who believe in him and diligently seek him are rewarded by him. Hello? Is there something wrong with seeking reward? Not at all. I mean, there couldn't be a bigger carrot dangled in eternity than salvation in heaven if you believe in Jesus. Oh, I don't want heaven really. I just want Jesus. Come on. You get Jesus, which is amazingly rewarding, and heaven too, which is incredibly rewarding. So even if you say, well, I'm not going to live for reward, inside yourself, you're happy with the fact that you don't live reward, so that's your reward. Everything you do is motivated by something. And so God shows us that he wants us to do things that please him. And when the pleasure is God's, the pleasure is ours, and we're rewarded in the same space. Isn't that beautiful? So give in a way that pleases God, then it pleases you. And you know what happens? You want to do it again. And you do it again, and you find more pleasure, and then you get more pleasure. There's more pleasure in God, more pleasure in everyone, and it just grows and grows and grows. That's a wonderful way to live. That's rewarding. There's a rewarding life in God. Don't think that we shouldn't pursue reward. I'll tell you what isn't reward quickly. Salvation isn't reward for you, because you can't earn it. But people being saved is a reward for Jesus and for the Father. So when Jesus died on the cross, who did he die for? He died for us, sure, but he died so that we could be made holy for the Father. So effectively, Jesus died for the Father. How many of you know that Jesus wants to reward his Father? How many of you know that the Father wants to receive the reward of his Son? How many of you know the Father wants to reward his Son? How many of you know that Jesus does live for reward? Hello? And it's inheritance upon inheritance, nation upon nation. And so I want to encourage you. If you want to live for reward, as the scripture says, you can pray in a certain way, you can give in a certain way, you can fast in a certain way, and you'll have no reward from your Father. Rather change that so that you can have reward from your Father. So don't do it for pride. Don't do it for arrogance. Don't do it for things just in an earthly level. Do it for Him. Seek after Him. Is that good? Amen. So giving, praying, and fasting, and this morning we're going to look at praying. And when you pray, Matthew 6 verse 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, like the play actors, like those that are, they're just rattling off a speech. They don't really care what they're praying. They're just praying. They don't even care about the answer to the prayer. They're just making a big show. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty words. That even when you worship, you can sing. You can sing with empty words. Your mouth is mouthing, holy, holy, we lift up holy hands. But where's your hands? So worship leaders trick churches. Because they put in songs where there's actions, but you don't do them. So when it says like, dance and spin around, I'm going to get some songs that say, I'm dancing. I'm spinning around right now. I'm going to get songs like that. I am bowing down. I mean, but we're not really doing that. Just perhaps it's empty. No, but I'm doing it in my heart, brother. Okay. Good. am I allowed to be facetious? Because I'm doing what Jesus is highlighting an area. You know, what we want to do is get rid of hypocrisy. Okay, so let's get back to genuineness and authentic Christianity. And yes, maybe you're not lifting up your hands, that's fine. But God can see the heart because He's in secret and He sees the secret place. But don't let it be like, yes, I was wondering about that goal last night and just like smacked it into the back. Holy, holy, lift up. Holy hands. Oh, just put it there. That verse is finished. When you sing, when you pray, well, aren't we praying when we're singing? Aren't we singing to God words that we could talk to God with? When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. But do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the prayer. Then he says, for. Now you see the heart, even in the prayer. For, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You can't just pray and have no heart or interaction with humanity. You can't just pray and not have any consideration of humanity, of every person on the face of the planet. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In other words, think about this, that when you're praying, you're not just praying words. You're praying heart to heart. His heart to my heart to His heart. And then I have His heart towards every heart all around me. And it changes. And if I see His forgiveness comes to me, I can give forgiveness and it's His forgiveness to others. And as I do that, I find an increasing flow of forgiveness from Him to me, from me to others. And any time I cut that off, I cut this off. Because now I'm just doing empty words. But let's have the heart of God, which is a heart towards people. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, the way in which you pray, not lots of words, not empty words, but such meaningful words that it affects your heart towards everyone on the planet. Amen? That's how we pray. But then let's look at the actual words. Prayer really is talking to God. If you can talk, you can pray. I love my little one-year-old Carter. He's learning to say some words, and he has full-on conversations with Sharissa and I. And it's like, and he's walking, and he's telling us this full-on thing. Only Ken Patrick know that. He'll just, and he mouths the sounds of these, maybe he has dad like that. Maybe he's talking what I'm saying most of the time. No. And he's having these full-on conversations. But I tell you, every now and then, he says a few words, and I tell you, and Sharissa believes it too, my favorite is when he says, Daddy. Daddy. There's nothing like it. And then he just carries on. Daddy, daddy, da 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 dee, dee, da da da, daddy, daddy, daddy. And then he like, daddy, daddy. And then he goes around. Now, just to hear that, it's like so wonderful. And like it's great to be able to see Carter born. It's great to be able to see Carter fed. It's great when Carter sleeps at night. It's great then when he's running around and he's starting to walk and he's kicking a soccer ball. I mean, he's incredible, the thing. He's one. But he's starting to talk. And that's when there's something that's returned. And it's rewarding for me and for him. And the more for me, the more I just want to be there. And the more I'm around him and the more I want to do things with him and just put him on my shoulder and carry him. And then he gets heavy. But anyway. Sharissa's actually very strong. She carries him like all day, and I carry him for like a few minutes, and then I'm like, yeah, babe, please. Women are very strong. Anyway, it's just this guy's a bit weak. So our attitude in prayers is important. We don't want to come with a false, we don't want to say just prayers. We want to read prayers. It's not superstitious. It's not like we want to rattle off some kind of thing and then we trust God's heard us. No, it's not like that at all. When you look in the life of Jesus, Jesus prays and gives a lot of attention to prayer. E.M. Barnes, he says, how is it that Jesus, who needed to pray so little, prayed so much, and we, who need to pray so much, pray so little? And it is good, therefore, that we see Jesus the prayer. So he sets the example as one who prays. And he has three little scriptures just to show you and give you a bit of context. Luke chapter 5 from verse 15 and 16. I'll just read it to you if you can't get there quickly. Sorry, Bronwyn, I didn't give the scriptures to the screen. Luke chapter 5 verse 15 to 16 says, but now even more reports about Jesus went abroad and great crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Incredible. People were pursuing Jesus. The crowds were trying to find Jesus. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus never set the agenda on the needs of people. Jesus set the agenda by his Father and by the Spirit. Look at this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. Jesus is preaching in Galilee. Mark 1, verse 35 to 39. And it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were searched, they searched for him, and they found him. And said, everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next town. They're all looking for him. He says, let's go to the next town, that I may preach there also, because that is why I came. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching the synagogues, casting out demons. Incredible that he doesn't set the agenda based on what everybody wants. But he sets the agenda on the mission that God gave him. Let's go to the next town. Powerful, eh? How did he know that? By praying. By seeking God. Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? Everybody's telling me what to do, Father. Everybody's asking me what to do, Father. And the Father says, no, go to the next town. And he moves to the next town because that's what he came to do. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 24. Matthew 14, verse 22 to 24. This is the account where Jesus walks on water. Verse 22 says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So he wasn't always trying to get rid of it. He dismissed the crowds. He's caring about the crowds, but he knew his disciples, he had a little plan for them. So he says, you guys get in the boat. He must have been like, you guys get in the boat. You guys get in the boat. I'm going to dismiss the crowd. I mean, laughing to himself, perhaps not. Because what happens to those poor disciples when they hit the middle of the lake? Little God-ordained test. And the Bible says, I mean, we learn this in our lives. We go to school to learn in order to write a test. But in Christianity, there's a test, and then we learn. Hello? So don't think you're going to pass every test based on what you've learned. When the test comes, it's to teach you something that you don't know after the test has passed. Are you in a test right now? Well, does it seem strange to you, whatever test you're in right now? Yes, because you couldn't have learned for it. So go through the test, and then you will learn. And God will show you for the next time, and in fact, you'll never get that one again, or you'll never consider it that bad again, because you would have passed it. And God brings you to the next one. So, where are we? Matthew 14, verse 22 to 24. Immediately, he made the disciples. He's like, no, get in the boat. Go, go, go. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. Go there in the water. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side, and while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone in the secret place, talking to his father. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten from the waves, for the wind was against them. And if you read further in the story, it's really a God-ordained storm. And Jesus comes walking on the storm, and they freaked out. What is it? It's a ghost now. He says, I'm not a ghost, it's me. Peter, climb out the boat, come and walk on water. Peter climbs out, says, is it you, Lord? Walks on water, takes his eyes off Jesus, on the waves, starts to sink. He says, keep your eyes on me, picks him up, takes him back, puts him in the boat. Incredible. You know, there's some tests that are God-ordained. Hello? Thank you, Lord. Hello? How often do we say thank you, Lord, for those? Not in them. Not in them. We're like, don't you care that we're going to die? He says, oh, ye of little faith. I was with you the whole time. I think he was praying for them up on that mountainside. What is storm you're going through? There's a mountain where Jesus is right now. He's on the throne of Zion, and he's seated there before his Father, and he's interceding for you right now. Whatever test you're going through, he's there, high up there, praying for you. He sees the whole picture. He sees what's happening in the water. He sees what's happening to the boat. He sees everything you're going through, and he's praying for you. What an incredible king. He still prays. He prayed a lot of times while he was alive on the earth. He prayed before he died. He prayed while he was on the cross. And he prays for you now. What a wonderful God. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. You see, on some occasions, Jesus prays the whole night, as we'll see here, for important things. Any of you got to make important decisions this coming week? Hello? Any major decisions you got to make? Tony, Sandy, God hears you. God hears you, and he speaks to you. He's going to show you. It's his decision. He'll show you. Anyone, whatever decision you've got to make. Look at this. Luke 6, verse 12 to 16. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom he named apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, son of Alphaeus, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. How many of you know that Jesus prayed all night to choose all those disciples, even Judas. Incredible. And so I want to remind you that prayer takes time, that prayer takes effort, that prayer takes making the space to pray. Some of you run by your diaries. Does your diary have prayer in it? Some of you have got commitments, you've got calendars. Is prayer in your calendar? Is prayer in your diary? Is prayer on your timetable? Because if it's not there, you can take this encouragement to put it there now. We need to make effort and time to pray. How many of you know that when you decide you're going to pray, like, right, put my clock on 5 in the morning, feeling particularly zealous, I'm going to go up as 4. Hey, Lord, we're going to have a great time together. Thank you, Jesus, for good sleep tonight. I'm going to go to bed early, 9 o'clock, thank you, Lord, and start getting ready, get into bed. This thing happens, check again, it's 10:30. Whoa, heck. Okay, so, all right, let's sleep. While you're sleeping, what happens? The alarm goes off for some reason. Dog's barking. Child is crying. Sharissa doesn't want to get up. I'm like, babe, please, you go again. She's like, you go now. I'm like, okay, I'll go. No, it's normally worse than that. Go and... And then it's not like, oh, Jesus, thank you for Carter. Won't you let him sleep? It's like, shoot, man. Is it going like that for any of you guys? Yep. So, Carter, sleep nicely now. And then, you know, you can have that little cry, and then it elevates into that other cry. Then the whole house is awake. Then Ethan and Bethany come in. Hello, God, what's that? And it's 4, it's 2 in the morning. Go back to bed. Then they're crying because they're not in your bed. And, oh, Lord. And then you lie down, and then the alarm goes off at 4:30. And you're like, Lord, is it okay if I come at 5? Put it on, put it at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock comes, and then it's 5:09. I don't know why they make the sleep mode 9 minutes. 5:09, 5:18, 5:20, and you're like, it's 5:05. I'm going to get up, and then like, oh, I should actually get up if I do. And I get my iPad because my Bible's on it, and then, hey, check, someone posted something on Facebook already. Do any of you find it hard to pray? Hello? It's hard to pray. It doesn't matter if you're the best prayer in the whole world. It takes effort. It takes time. But Jesus has made it possible for us. He even gives us the words. Go through those things and what starts to happen. And maybe start with 5 minutes, but dedicate the time. And we get so legalistic about it because I tell you, even when I've had weeks where I've prayed 2 hours every day, I felt like I didn't pray enough. And if you just talk to the Lord all day, that's great. But make time where you are praying. Pray in secret. I tell you, who you are in secret with God is who you are in the whole world, is everywhere with God. So if He has you in secret, He has you everywhere. If He doesn't have you in secret, He doesn't really have you anywhere. So let Him have you in secret, because you know who you are. You know what you're dealing with in your heart and life. It's the secret place. The secret place is the secret place. You don't tell everyone everything, do you? I don't. But the Father can tell Him. So it's a good place to be, in that secret place. That's where He loves you. He shows you incredible things. He's there for you. He's already waiting when you come into the secret place. If He has you in secret, He can have you anywhere. Let's go into the words. And He says, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Our Father. This is where it all starts. Man, everything hangs on that. Our Father. My dad. But our Father. Just to address Him, if you just close your eyes right now. Our Father, You're in the room. You're all over us. You're here. You're God. And You're Father. Our Father. Yes, He's good. He's so good. Jesus knows the Father. Fuck. John 10 verse 15 says, just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. Jesus knows us. No one knows you better than Jesus. Jesus knows what our humanity. Jesus knows what it's like. And so Jesus knows how we should pray. If he knows the Father, he knows what the Father needs to hear. Amen? If he knows us, he knows what we need to pray. So therefore, Jesus teaching us to pray is the best person to teach us how to pray. Therefore, if you pray what Jesus has asked you to pray, it pleases the Father and you'll get what you ask. Amen? So let's follow Jesus' prayers. He's the best to learn from. It's astounding. This prayer is an invitation to salvation. We become sons and daughters by having God as our Father. 1 John 2 verse 23 says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. John 1 verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You need to be born again in order to say, our Father. He's not just your Father because he made you. He's not your Father because he chose to adopt you. He's those things when you realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I believe in him. And when you put your faith in Jesus, that's when he accepts you as his child and you can say, our Father, in the real sense of the word. And so, I love this when Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He's out of the tomb. He's alive. And Mary, I think Mary Magdalene comes and she's about to touch Jesus. She's like, wow, you're alive. And he says, don't cling to me. John 20 verse 17 says, don't cling to me because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers. It's amazing. He's died for them. His blood has been shed to cleanse those who believe in him. And now he says this, go to my brothers. Where before they were his disciples, his apostles, his friends, he says, nah, you're my brothers. He says, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. My dad is now your dad. And he says, and my God and your God. Isn't that incredible? The same when we say our Father, who's the our? Jesus and us. Jesus is teaching us to say, he says, don't you say, my Father or your Father, pointing to Jesus, your Father, would you? I mean, sometimes this is in some religions, and I believe in the Roman Catholic religion, you've got to pray through Mary to get to Jesus, to get to the Father. So you're like, our Mother Mary, Mother of Christ, would you hear this prayer and hand it over to the Father? Jesus saying, forget all of that. I'm the mediator. But now you can say, our Father, directly to the Father. Doesn't have to go through anyone else. And so it takes faith, and we need to approach God in faith when we come before him. Our Father also means we together. None of us, nowhere does Jesus say, pray my Father. So when you're praying, even on your own, you recognize this, that you're part of something huge. You're part of a family. Every time you're praying, you're not just praying for yourself because you're a part of a body. You're connected. We're so interdependent of one another. It's like, if it's all about my needs, then you forget, but hang on, I belong to something bigger than me. Yes, Lord, meet my needs. Thank you that you can meet my needs. And the prayers encourage us to pray for our needs. But the point is not just that my needs are met, meet our needs. Because if God's going to meet my need, he's going to meet through me, other people's needs. If he's going to bless me, it's to be a blessing. If he's going to give to me, it's for the sake of generosity so that I can pray, our Father. Whenever you pray, our Father, it's not like just my God or my Father. Consider this, that there's a whole church for ages and ages, generations past, that are also praying. And so when you come into prayer, you stand as one of those in a multitude of, as far as the eye can see, over the horizons. I don't think there's an horizon in heaven, by the way. Is there? The world is flat in heaven. I'm joking. In fact, there's heaven, but what does it say? That we will come back to earth. And there will be a new earth, and then it'll probably be bigger. But I mean, the point is, from as far as the eye can see, that's who's praying, our Father. You can be personal with him, but remember that it's our Father. He's in heaven. He's in control. He sees everything from the highest of heights. He's beyond time. He is eternal. He can see what you're going through. He's in heaven. He doesn't have the trials and the troubles of earth in heaven. In heaven, he's completely free. And therefore, we pray in humility. He's above us. He's so much far greater than us. He's holy, holy, holy Father. He's incredible Father. We don't just barge in and say, ah, Dad, I need something from you. It's like, wow, Father. If you start off with our Father, it changes your whole attitude and expectation for the rest of your prayer. I've heard people say, be angry with God if you want to be angry with God. Well, then be angry with God. But the minute you say, our Father, where can you be? Hello? And that's where Jesus says, start there. Our Father. Wow. Changes everything. The answer to that prayer, if our Father is ever a request, or the reality of our Father, is in this. Romans 8, verse 14 to 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Let me tell you this. The answer of the whole Lord's Prayer is the Holy Spirit. And I want to highlight that in the last few petitions that we read in the rest of the prayer. Three aspects of the beginning of the prayer are Godward, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then the rest is regards to us. It's incredible that we can worship him and then ask him for what we need. Daily bread. What does that tell you? Our source is him. Forgive us our sins. What does that tell you? We're sinful. We need forgiveness. As we forgive others. What does that mean? We're in a world where we've got to deal with relationships based on a relationship with our Father. Lead us not into temptation. Does God ever tempt us? No. He could test us. But temptation doesn't come from God, so he can protect us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. He delivers us from evil past. He delivers us from evil present. And he will deliver us from evil in the end. There's victory to come. And he brings victory. And so those are towards us. And then that last bit of the prayers is, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Let's go with hallowed be your name. We can't hallow his name without the Spirit. In the Old Testament, under the law, there were the Ten Commandments, which kind of formed a new people. The nation of Israel was formed under the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that hang on it. But the Ten Commandments, and the beginning of the Ten Commandments was, hallowed be your name. Love God. Worship God. Don't have an idol. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Worship him. Set aside a day of rest. Your will be done. On heaven as it is on earth. And then honoring. Honoring your fathers, honoring your parents, honoring people. Part of the Ten Commandments. And then it goes on to say, don't steal, don't murder, don't lie, don't covet. And Jesus, as he starts a new people, a new nation, he brings us not laws, but a relationship. And in that relationship, it kicks off with, hallowed be your name. And then it says this, his kingdom first. Let his will be done. Then don't steal, because you get daily bread. Don't murder, but forgive. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory forever and ever. The correlation between the Ten Commandments forming the nation of Israel under the law is wonderful when you understand that Jesus is starting something under grace as a relationship with the Father, and we become a people who base our lives not on laws, but on a prayer life. The Old Testament was like, how's your obedience life? The New Testament is, how's your prayer life? Somebody, it was Michael Eaton, he says, you know the size of a church by the number of people that come to the prayer meeting. Like, yo. When do we have our next prayer meeting?
Wednesday.
This week? Yeah. End of the month, all right. We'll let you know. so we can see how big our church is. No. Father, we want to honor your name. We want to glorify you for all that you've done. Mary sings us, she sings, the mighty things that you have done for me. How holy is your name. Hallowed be your name. You know, I don't understand how they can write over and over again into the scripts of the movies that we watch that the name of Jesus should be a swear word that's repeated over and over and over again. And we have those things blaring through our AV systems. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. That when your name is used as a swear word, that I choose to separate myself from those things. Hallowed be your name. The name above all names, the name that only saves us is Jesus. The name that is our provision, Jehovah Jireh. The name that is our righteousness. The name that is our healing. The name that is our salvation. The name that is forever the name above all names. That name, hallowed be that name. God, you highlight your name. Jesus, you highlight the name. Well, then let me also, hallowed be your name in my life. Let your name go forth. Let your gospel go forth. Let the kingdom go forth. Let your message go forth. Let me live for your name. If I'm in a life group, it's for the name of Jesus. If I'm living in my family, it's for the name of God. It's his name. Hallowed be that glorious name. Can we come back to the place where seeing the Father, seeing how much the Father loves us, that he's in heaven, that we start to hallow that name. Hallow means to honor it, to sanctify it, to set it aside as holy and beautiful. It's not just a name that we say. It's a wonderful and glorious name. And we do that by the Spirit. When the Spirit is in us, we live for the name of God. When the Spirit is in us, we do it in an incredible way. Your kingdom come. Jesus preached the kingdom. Jesus is the king of that kingdom. Wherever Jesus is, that kingdom rules and reigns. But Jesus is in heaven right now. Hello, our Father which art in heaven, and Jesus Christ who's seated next to him. Hallowed be your name. But the Spirit is here among us. And when the Spirit comes, that's when the kingdom, the rule and reign of the king on that throne is manifest in this life by the Spirit of God. So we could equally pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. In other words, your Spirit come. Your will be done. Your Spirit do. Because the Spirit always does the will of God. And the Spirit always brings the kingdom of God. So let's ask for the Spirit. On earth as it is in heaven. Oh God. When your attitude is his kingdom, his will, his name being made great, then you can ask him to meet your needs. When you start to pray, do you start to pray, oh God, forgive me, or do you start to pray, our Father in heaven? When you start to pray, do you start to pray, give me a house, give me food, give me this? Or when you start to pray, do you say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, you first, your kingdom first, your will first, on earth as it is in heaven, your place first, everything of yours first, then I know you will provide for me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Then he says, Lord, would you give me daily bread? And it's logical, isn't it? If you see the Father and you see his name, the next thing that flows from that is, well, that kingdom needs to reign. If that kingdom needs to reign, well, then that will needs to be done. If his will needs to be done, well, then let it be done here on earth where it's not being done. And then the next thing is, well, who's going to do it? Well, I have to. Therefore, I need to live. Therefore, I need food, I need clothes, I need a house, I need to be able to exist in order to bring that on the earth. So, Lord, meet my physical needs in this physical body so that I can physically go to the places that need your rule, your reign, your kingdom, your name to be hallowed, where there are children who don't know you and they need to be able to cry out, Abba, Father. And so, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. The Holy Spirit reminds us and grieves when we are in sin and helps us not to keep sinning. But there's forgiveness that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. When we don't forgive others, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. When we forgive others, we're acting in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit there again is the answer to that aspect. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive me for what I have done. Lead me not into doing it again. And deliver me from evil. And there again, it's by the Spirit. Jesus overcame by the blood. He says we overcome by his blood, his word, and not fearing, but having the Spirit in us. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you have the Spirit, you have the answer to the prayer. If you have the Spirit, you have the power to pray. If you have the Spirit, you can pray without knowing what to pray. Let me read the account in Luke 11 for you. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer you from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, because he's persistent, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Looks a bit like a fish, doesn't it? There we go, snake. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the answer to the Lord's Prayer.